This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Presented by the Law Offices of Pond, Lee Hockey, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
And a good Saturday night, everyone, and welcome into another edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we broadcast to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're right in the middle of our mayoral candidate sit-downs where we go one-on-one with the candidates that are on the upcoming primary ballot. Derek Green is our special guest. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I toss down to my good partner, J-Doc, to kick it off. J-Doc, all yours, brother.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, we've got a great broadcast tonight. This is part of our Meet the Mayoral Candidates series. We're ecstatic to have on Derek Green, a longtime city council at large member in the city of Philadelphia. Derek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be on the show. As someone who grew up in a labor household, my mother taught in the school district for 31 years, 26 years of Allen High School.
Yep.
And I remember in the 80s, I was young then, when, you know, she went on strikes. And I remember the strikes she went on in the 80s when we had a different mayor, also last name Green, but we'll have a better Green administration in 2024.
Absolutely.
But I remember what impact that had on a household. The fact that she loved being a teacher, but she had to fight for wages and benefits. And they had a lot of strikes in the 80s. I think a combined between the teachers and other unions, about 13 strikes in the 80s. And I remember that. And the fact that she would go on a picket line and they would meet at, I think, a church on Broad Street to kind of get together after being on a picket line. And that impacted me. I wouldn't be here but for her and before organized labor.
And what's interesting about that, and we appreciate those words, is I'm hoping that some of the teachers of today are listening to that. Because as a union member myself, a longtime member of the Iron Workers Union, and we talk about, you know, you get the young guys on it and they think they were born on third base, right? You know, they didn't get to see individuals like your mother and a lot of the early union members in the movement who paved the way for the benefits and the standards that we have today. And the teachers union, absolutely, you know, that no exception there. They do a fantastic job, and it's why it's such a strong union. One of the things we say about unions is it's the difference between having a job and a career. When you're in a union and you're in a brother and sisterhood, and the collective bargaining opportunities and obviously fair wages, benefits and standards, people like your mother paved the way for the teachers of today. So I hope they're listening, and it's certainly what we're all about. Now, having said that, I know as we talk about this, you right behind you, you have, and this is Super Bowl Eve that we're obviously we're on the broadcast. I'd like everybody, Joe Krause, you always say that radio is theater of the mind. So I'm looking at a Green Eagles shirt, vote green, but it says grease the polls.
Well,
it's about the Super Bowl tomorrow, and I love that spirit. Certainly, Derek Green for mayor of Philly. How appropriate.
Absolutely. Well, I'm saying we're going to have to grease the polls because I'm assuming, and I'm wishing.
But we don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx it. As a true Philadelphian, I don't want to totally jinx it. But looking for the opportunity for us to grease the polls that we need it.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking before the broadcast about, and you're a big sports fan, about just recently with the Phillies and now with the Eagles. Listen, Philadelphia went through a very emotional, drought, difficult time. I mean, to say the least. Okay, we're obviously still not back with our Center City district. People are just starting to, you know, come back. But what the sports teams have done, from the Phillies to the Eagles, of course, the Sixers. So, hope the Flyers have beat. but really, what is going on recently? What the Phillies in the World Series and now the Super Bowl has done incredible things for the city.
Oh, I agree. And when you say the Flyers, I'm not sure if we should have a Rangers coach as our head coach. As someone who grew up in born early 1970. Grew up playing street hockey.
Yeah, me too.
And put your foot on the stick and bend the stick.
Right.
And all trying to do slap sticks and all that stuff. But as someone who grew up in that time period, you know, when I was young, I thought, Philly sports teams will always be great. We had back-to-back championships with the Broad Street Bullies, and Ed Snyder came from the Eagles and started the Flyers, and the Phillies and the Sixers.
Well, the Flyers of all organizations, I mean, I remember... the Stanley Cups. I went to those parades, right? And so you always assume the Flyers. And so this has been a difficult time. One of the things, and you talk about I was telling you that I went to the Phillies first game back when Hoskins hit the home run, slammed on the back. And I'll say this. I remember turning around and looking up, right? And people, all backgrounds, all ethnic backgrounds, and, races, creeds. I'm looking at everybody, and we're all one right now. I mean, a tear was coming out of my eyes. No one knew who was a Democrat, a Republican. No one cared about any. And it showed me that we're all much more alike than we're different, right?
Absolutely.
It was such a unifying situation. And so I think that in Philadelphia, it's been even a bigger meeting than just winning the World Series, which was tough to lose, but it did so much for city, and now here we are at the Super Bowl.
It did. I mean, think about if I remember the first World Series game in Philly was on a Friday night, and the Eagles are playing Sunday night in a Sunday night football game, and just having all that camaraderie of the entire nation looking at Philly, and it was a great day that Friday, and I wish we had a rally downtown like we used to at City Hall, where we could have had, and we also had the Premier League was here for something. But it was just a great to feel that. You could feel the energy.
Oh my God.
In the city.
I had a broadcast.
Energy.
Exactly. I had a broadcast, I believe, that night. It might have been Saturday. It was Friday or Saturday. But I remember I had a broadcast down at the casino. It was the Labor Show. And when I was driving back, I drove through Fairmount because I live in East Falls, okay? And the city was buzzing. And you could feel the energy, an energy that, as you know, over the last couple of years driving through Center City on a Friday or Saturday night, you're shaking your head and you're going, I cannot believe this. Well, it was back. And so a great time to be a Philadelphian and a Philadelphia fan, of course. Now, first of all, want to thank you for being on the broadcast. And we're going to this is a short segment in the first segment, but I do want to say this. You've had a successful career, obviously, as a city councilman at large. Why the move to mayor? What inspired you to do it?
Well, what inspired me to run for mayor, because I believe Philadelphians should expect more and deserve better from our city. And I made my announcement in West Philadelphia at a barbershop. And when I go around the city, I see people who just feel like we're not going to get better. Like we're always going to have 500 homicides, or we're always going to have all of the stuff that's happening in our streets, or just the trash that's around. And people have lost hope. So I think we need to have a mayor that's going to bring energy and that we can get through these problems. And we have great opportunities. I was a national president for Democratic municipal officials. I'm seeing what mayors are doing all around the country. President Biden was just here last week, and he made a major announcement about investing in our water department.
Yep.
Those are jobs. That's infrastructure jobs. We have the bipartisan infrastructure law.
Yeah.
We had the Inflation Reduction Act. So we have billions of dollars that we as a city should be going after that can bring those dollars to the city to redo our city. I mean, we are a city of neighborhoods, of communities that was built by labor. We need to rebuild Philly because we've got a lot of infrastructure that's crumbling. If I'm on West River Drive, right by Montgomery Avenue, there's a bridge where water is coming through the bridge, through the rebarb, and every year people make an ice sculpture. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we need to take these dollars to invest in our city and provide more jobs and opportunities for those who are the great-grandchildren of labor who helped know, their great grandparents built this city,
yeah.
and now an opportunity for their great grandchildren to remake the city with these dollars.
And as a city council person at large, you know, that's you're not dealing just with one district. You're dealing with the whole city. How has that, you know, prepared you for what you're about to encounter?
Well, as an at-large member of council, and my staff used to get really mad at me because I try to get out of City Hall as much as possible. So I've been every neighborhood, every community. I go to different organizations and I connect, because you really can't see what's happening in the city if you're in City Hall all day. And so I try to get out. That's why when I'm in Northeast or Southwest or East Falls, we talked about one of my bars in East Falls.
Yeah.
That, because I get out and you get to know and meet people. And that's what I like about this campaign as well, because not only have I done that as an at-large member of City Council, but now as mayor, I can do the same thing. And what I keep hearing is that Philadelphians should expect more and deserve better.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Let's take a short break, throw it to Krause. We'll have more with Derek Green when we come back.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by IBEW Local 98, UFCW Local 1776, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades DC 21. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And back here on a Saturday night, this is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. J-Doc going one-on-one with Derek Green, part of our special mayoral candidate series. Alan Dom was our guest a week ago. Tonight, it's J-Doc and Derek Green. J-Doc, back to you.
Thanks, Joe. We're having a great conversation with Democratic candidate for Mayor of Philadelphia, Derek Green. And we're talking, obviously, about you. We're talking about your motivation and what inspired you to get into this race and your passion for the city and obviously what needs to be done. Let's talk about a couple things that are vital when it comes to, you know, being the mayor. Leadership. Talk about leadership and you know, what you bring to the table when it comes to being the mayor.
Well, leadership is very important, and I think that's something that if you're going to be mayor, you have to demonstrate leadership. You have to demonstrate that we're going to lead our city going forward. You know, as a former assistant district attorney, I'm concerned about the gun violence that we see in our city. Last year, we had over 1,800 shootings, and so one of the things I will do as mayor is in my first year have a 25% reduction in shootings, and we're going to do that through presence, accountability, opportunity, and investment. When I say presence, bring in more police officers. We don't have the officers that we need, even though we have the money in our budget. Other cities like Seattle and Newark and Baltimore are using hiring bonuses to bring in police officers. Seattle went from defund the police, now they're using hiring bonuses. So I tried to do that when I was a member of city council, and I couldn't get the support from the mayor, but that's something we need to do, is bring in police officers.
You know, when we were under stress a couple years back, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on downtown with a lot of the, you know, the fires and all those things. One of the things that was, and I think still pains us today, is the fact that there was a curfew on the city, yet our city was being burned down and we couldn't, and there was a lack of leadership talking to the people at that time. Talk about the importance of, in a sense, being a beacon of leadership and to the people during stressful times.
I mean, it's important. You've got to communicate to the residents on a regular basis and letting people know that you are here, you're in charge, you're at the scene of these issues, letting people know that, yes, we're going through a challenging time, but we're going to have the resources to make people feel safe in their city, because it's our city and we don't want to see our city go in the wrong direction. But that's leadership and taking those type of steps and making sure if we've got to reach out at the state or federal level for additional assistance, taking that leadership to make sure that we're going to make sure that Philadelphia is safe for all people in all communities.
And when you talk about day one, okay, there's obviously a lot of hot button issues. What is your day one look like? And you talk about obviously addressing crime. Talk about your day one, you know, high urgent issues that you're going to be dealing with.
Well, you know, it starts right after the primary, May 16th. So May 17th into swearing in.
That's right.
We're going to be putting together that plan. And I talked about the presence, the accountability is making sure that we're going to use our federal partners to go after illegal people who illegally possess guns.
Yeah.
And that's going around a DA and going with our U.S. Attorney's Office. Because when I was in the DA's office, if you got caught with a gun on you, you were afraid you may get federal time. People don't have that fear anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the accountability, making sure we're using our U.S. Attorney's Office, working with us collectively at in the city to go after guns. But the opportunity and investment is really going after those dials I talked about to really build up our city, to make our city a better place. But on day one, not only are we going to have a new police commissioner, and we're also going to be going around the city as well. We're going to be addressing these issues, letting people know that there's a new day in Philadelphia and how we're going to address these issues, and this is what's going to happen. But also visiting other parts of the city, like Kensington. I've done ride-alongs late night with the 24th Police District.
Sure.
I didn't tell my wife I was doing it,
yeah,
but I've done ride-alongs in the past.
Sure.
But we're going to make sure that that part of the city is not going to look as it currently does.
Well, it's interesting because, when you know, we're going to, and we're certainly going to get into that. I've had, we do a lot of different types of broadcasts, and I had the pleasure of having members of the Black Clergy on several of my shows, and we talked about gun crime and what's going on. And I have, really, I have great community relationships, and a good friend of mine, Daryl Shore. I don't know if you know DS, but I was in the nightclub business for 15 years.
At Center City. Daryl Shore.
Yeah, so DS is my good buddy. Okay, and we've done. We've done shows, on the violence in the city and a lot of things. What's amazing about it, stereotypically, when DS kind of, we were on a broadcast and we were talking about stereotypically, you would think it would be all drug and crime and gang related. It's not. You have young people. It does exist, number one, and that's got to obviously be impacted. But you have young people obtaining these illegal ghost guns. Okay. Fighting over, it could be an argument over a girl or, you would think would be out on the street.
Social media.
These things, that are going on, yeah, it's important to have common sense gun laws and all those things. But a lot of these guns and some of the pastors, I remember being on a broadcast and the pastor said to me, well, the gun laws are important and we need to make sure they're common sense and tighten things up for sure. But a lot of these guns are not, these aren't registered guns. These people are getting these guns illegally. How do we address that situation that is not quite as, we're going after the drugs, we're going after the gangs. This is a little different than that. Social media, like you mentioned, is a big sparking spot for where these things originate.
So when I talked about the accountability piece, it's really going after these ghost guns. Back in the day when I was a prosecutor, people would go to a gun show in Oaks or Trooper, buy gun, and then it gets sold to someone and then it eventually may get on the street.
Sure.
They're not doing that now. Now they've got a 3D printer. You go to some houses in the city where it's almost like Dick's Sporting Goods for guns in the basement and people say, well, what type of gun you want?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to aggressively go after people who are in the gun sale business, who are selling bullets and guns for young people. And the fact we have so many guns on the street and you also have young people who don't have the same perspectives that may have happened back in the day. Because I remember when I was young, someone you may have gotten a fight with 2 weeks, a month later, may become your best friend for life.
Yeah.
But because of all the challenges from both social media, as you talked about,
You
got young people who want to be hitters or shooters on social media just so they can demonstrate how big and tough they are.
Sure.
But we're not providing some of the inputs and support and the father type of relationships and parenting and guidelines to help these young people to realize we need you to put down a gun and pick up a paycheck.
When you see what happened outside Roxburgh High School, and somebody from East Falls, that Roxburgh's, that's our community, and it's a tragedy of epic proportions, as we know. And then you think about both sides, and my heart goes out to the young kid that passed away and his family. And then you think of the waste of how 1 minute, okay, somebody made that decision to go do something stupid, okay, and they're gone for life also, and rightfully so, it's a murder and all that, but the fact of the matter is that situation right there is what's running rampant in our city of Philadelphia. It's such a painful area, and when you talk about the ghost guns, it's what's front page. What's sad, even sadder, is it happens so often. Okay, almost. It obviously gives our city the people coming here. I heard people came from San Francisco to see the ball game. Okay, now those that weren't, you know, complaining about our fans and you know at the stadium, talked about as they came here what a great city it was, what a great experience they had. But a lot of people were afraid to come to Philly because they hear about, you know, what, you know, the statistics and all those things. Is that something that, you know, is on your mind in regards to, you know, just improving the image of Philly?
Well, and especially in reference to that very horrific situation with Nicholas Azalde and Roxborough High School.
Sure.
But what that situation showed us, you had a young adult. Yeah. You had younger people with him. So people are, we're either going to mentor young people and put them on the right path. That's why, you know, getting involved in training programs to hopefully become an apprentice puts people on a path to a career, not just a job.
Absolutely.
But getting young people exposed to those programs, like what's like to be, like, for example, the Carpenters have a great program where they're working with young people, and I've gone to their program over and over again. We're exposing young people to the trades. And the fact that those young people that took that young man's life, because they're being mentored by someone on the wrong side. Now they are getting caught up, and now their life's going to change. Yeah. Where they could be mentored and go in the right direction. And we also need to make sure our schools are providing those opportunities. When my mom was at Alney, they had one of the best auto body shops in the city. If you came out of Alney, you could go right down on Broad Street to Wilkie and get a job.
Well, you talk about the apprenticeship, and what I, you know, what you're talking about, it is layering this issue. This is an issue that's not just going to have one answer. But you talk about apprenticeships and so many kids, and union labor, and there's a program like we're talking about now that where Ryan Boyer, creating a and the other business managers at the building trades creating a program where, you know, for the high school kids, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to some of our Philadelphia school district people, and they're working a program out so that the kids get the exposure to the labor unions, and the equality and equity passion that Ryan has and all of our business managers now, and in making sure that everybody has an equal opportunity to get in. It wasn't always easy to get into a labor union. Okay. It's not a secret. But the progress that the unions are making and the fact that, you know, listen, you're obviously a lawyer, assistant district attorney, somebody who has worked really hard to get where you're at academically. There's a ton of kids that aspire in that direction, but there's also a ton of kids who their aptitude academically is more geared towards they're using working with their hands or creatively music wise or all those things, and have what the building trades are trying to do is provide access and opportunity and exposure to kids who might want to go in that direction.
And we talked about leadership. So I know Ryan and building trades have been trying to get into the school district for some time. Couldn't get in. And I kept saying, why is this so hard? But we have a new superintendent.
Yeah.
So now that's happening. And so exposing young people is very important. You know, before I became the national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, I was a labor chair. And so I've been to almost every apprentice training facility in the region with all the building trades, learning, getting a sense of what the training they're providing. And also, just like a lawyer or a doctor, the training and continual focus on safety that journeymen are getting after work on the weekends to make our city safe. But what I learned is that you have so many people who went to college, got a college degree, and now going into the trades.
Yeah.
Because they thought everyone was being pushed towards college.
Yeah.
So when they took
vocational, they didn't get the exposure.
Exactly. When they took vocational training out of the neighborhood schools, they said we're going to have college only, and you have to go to either Swenson or Diamond to get to a trade. You weren't getting exposed like you were back in the day in high school.
Absolutely.
And so now you have young people who may go to college or get involved in some other job, and they say, you know what? I really want to do this. And if they had the opportunity to be exposed to being a sprinkler fitter or a carpenter or labor, I mean, you can go through the whole focus.
Sure.
They may be much further ahead without having all the debt.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Let's start with the Krause. We're going to have more from the Labor Show and our Meet the Candidates conversation when we come back.
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. This edition of the Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, Steam Fitters Local 420, and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 542. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
This is the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. J-Doc going one-on-one with Derek Green, part of our special mayoral candidate series. It's J-Doc and Derek Green. J-Doc, back to you.
Thanks, Joe. Certainly, we're having a fantastic conversation with Derek Green, a candidate for mayor of the city of Philadelphia. And before we move on, one of the things I want to say is what I really, really admire what you're talking about is it's a layered approach towards stopping the gun violence. You know, mentors, education, jobs, opportunity, all those things come into play. We're just not going to take the guns and then think that, you know, people with no opportunities or exposure to anything, that crime is just going to go away.
Well, I agree. That's why when I say the 25% reduction, the presence is the police officers. The accountability is working in the U.S. Attorney's Office to make people accountable for possessing a legal gun. The opportunity is what we're talking about, getting young people and others in our city to understand there are opportunities for you to have a family-sustaining job, like through the trades. And so that's something that we need to push more and expose more young people. That's why I'm so glad at what's happening with the school district. And the investment side is the work for members of the trades to have the way to rebuild our city. And so that's how we're going to address this gun violence, but also just improve our city and bring some more economic vitality to Philly.
What about your relationship with the, you were an assistant DA, you know, part of, you know, first of all, the criminal justice reform. Okay, that's a part of your platform, and that comes in a number of different ways. But your relationship with the district attorney, talk about, you know, how that's going to be.
Well, he's an independently elected official, just like I as mayor, and I understand some of the things he's done, and I was on his transition team regarding bail reform and a conviction integrity unit. But I'm also very concerned about some of the charging and other issues, like the fact we're not going as aggressively as we should regarding people with illegal guns. That's why I'm going to bring in the U.S. Attorney's Office like we used to. People talk about focused deterrence and how they're reducing gun violence in Chester and Camden. I didn't need to go to Chester and Camden because they got their programs from Philadelphia back when we had the DA and the mayor and the commissioner and the First Judicial District, the court system, all working together in South Philadelphia for a pilot. But then because of the last economic recession, we couldn't expand it. So in my administration, we're going to expand focused deterrence, and we're going to work with the DA if the DA wants to work with us. But if not, we're going to circumvent and work with our U.S. Attorney's Office and our Attorney General to get stuff done in the city.
Let's talk a little bit about taxes, okay? Let's do like a 180 for a second. You know, you've been supportive of small businesses in the city of Philadelphia. It's no secret that, you know, businesses are scared to come here. Obviously, the taxes are high, and it's also when it comes to our city residents. You know what's going on with a lot of gentrification and of course the taxes, real estate taxes. Talk about, you know, how you're going to improve those areas.
Well, one of the last things I did as a member of city council is put together this last budget, where because I, you know, worked with the governor when I was the president of Pennsylvania Municipal League, I knew that the state was doing a lot better revenue-wise. So I said, well, the city also must be doing better. So I put together the plan that was adopted as part of our last budget, where we reduced the wage taxes and taxes for small businesses to levels we haven't seen in 50 years, but still made investments for public safety, quality of life, and also for the homestead exemption. Because with the tax plan that the mayor proposed, and the mayor was supposed to be working with us, but decided to do, I guess, a Ben Simmons and not work with us. And I read about his proposal of a 31% tax increase in the paper, but said we got to do things like our homestead exemption to give people a better opportunity to stay in their home. And we need to continue to make reductions for small businesses. I'm a former small business owner. My wife and I had a retail store. That's part of the reason why I don't have hair like I used to.
Right. Well, I was in the hospitality business, and I got to say this. You know, it was the nightclub business. And so having said that, I, you know, got out in 2015, right? And I thank God, you know, when that pandemic hit, and you talked about, you know, we did a number of shows at small businesses in our hospitality industry who are all confused because some, some businesses were getting shut down and other businesses weren't. And it was just a tragic situation. What do you think, A, the reason for that was, and B, how will you prevent that inconsistency in the future? You got some restaurants that are, you know, able to sit at a corner store. You got the big stores that are open. The little stores can't stay open. Talk about that, because it's one of the reasons why some people are hesitant to open up now, because they don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, and that's a shame, because we need to communicate to our businesses. As a former small business owner, and I was also a small business lender when I first came out of college. So sure. I understand the challenges of trying to meet a payroll. But if you're a business owner, you want consistency. And we can't have a situation where you're hearing that something in Montgomery County, which is just over Shelham Avenue or City Ave, they're doing something differently there than here.
Absolutely. And
the virus doesn't stop at City Ave or Shelham
Avenue. And especially livelihoods that are on the line. It was so difficult to watch. We're going to spit fire a little bit here because I want to get through some issues. You've given some really, really, layered answers, and it's awesome. But I want to get into, obviously, it's a union show, and you have got a union background, and we're going to get into some education. We're going to talk about the opioid epidemic. Let's talk about your mother was a teacher in a union 31 years, and that kind of covers both areas when you talk about education and labor use. Talk about, one thing is, Mayor Kenney has taken a beating in a number of areas, but he's been good with project labor agreements and when it comes to organized labor. And of course, you got the city unions and the great job that they do, a lot of them in harm's way on a daily basis. Talk about your commitment to labor in the city of Philadelphia and how you're going to manage those situations.
Well, my commitment to labor is 150% because I grew up in a labor household. But also, when I became a city council member and I got a chance to visit almost all those, I would say probably all of the training facilities, I really saw the work and energy and the commitment to safety that we have by having project labor agreements and working with union labor. I think the average person takes for granted that when we have construction projects, other projects, we don't have people that may die or who may get injured by those locations, because people have the training to get things done. And too often I see a lot of these developments that are smaller developments often that start on a Friday at 5.
Yeah.
And they wrap up on a Sunday at 11.
Very interesting.
And we need to start over L&I in a lot of ways.
By the way, that point you make, we had a crew on one of our labor mm-hmm. shows that was on a job just like that. One of the guys, and it happened to be a non-union contractor, and they were working that night shift and all that so they could get away with a bunch of things. One of the kids talked about going up on a hoist and calling his family on the way up and saying, before they started to go up, he said, "If I don't come home, I just want you to know what happened." We had the whole crew in there, and it was a really emotional situation. So no one's ever brought that up. I want to thank you for talking about that kind of scenario, because by the way, some people who heard you just say that didn't know what you may not have understood what your point was,
right?
But that underground, workforce and how workers get taken advantage of that. Not everybody understands it.
Right. And they're taking advantage of the worker. The worker's not getting paid what they should. They think they're going to get paid X amount of dollars and they get paid Y amount of dollars. So they don't feel like they got their value, and the project may not be safe. And someone buying that house or development in the future doesn't know it wasn't done the way it should have been done.
Right.
And so now their life is at risk. And also maybe the houses next to it or the block is at risk. So it adds a number of issues from a safety perspective, but also we're not getting the dollars that should be coming into our general fund to help us maintain our city. So those type of situations are important. We need an L&I that has the 100%. Ability to really aggressively go after that. It doesn't make sense that I had a chance to visit all these different trades, but then you have an L&I inspector who's responsible for all those trades. How is that possible?
Let's do this. Let's take a short break, because you're touching on a lot of really interesting areas. And when you talk about L&I, and we've had you know, some broadcasts have talked about the fire safety issues that we've had on a constant basis there that for some reason are not getting addressed. And so let's throw it to Krause. We're going to have more with our conversation with Derek Green in just a minute.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, Roofers Local 30, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And shout out to everybody listening here on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT to The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Also special thanks to all of our partners and all of our union supporters who continue, J-Doc, to support The Labor Show on a Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. J-Doc's conversation now continuing with Derek Green for our final segment.
Thanks, Krause. We're continuing our conversation with Derek Green, and really fascinating. We're talking about labor and understanding the issues in regards to quality work, safety, and working standards, and all those things that unions bring to the table. Let's jump on education. Okay, so it's a topic that's near and dear to your heart. Your mother was a public school teacher at Alany for 31 years. What's your plan, to make sure that our kids, get the opportunities that everybody gets and to bring up our schools so their futures is as bright as anybody else's?
Well, as mayor, I will appoint members of the school board. We need to make sure those school board members understand the challenges of being a parent or child or someone that works in our school buildings. And that's more than just allowing people to talk for 2 minutes at a school board meeting on Thursday, but really engaging and having that type of dialogue. And I think that's needed. And those are the type of people that I will point to the school board. Also, we need to have schools that people want to go to. I think of other cities, and I learned this through my national experience, where like in Maryland, they were able to really renovate a number of their schools. That's another goes back to investment and opportunity for jobs. In the Northeast, the school district did the Propel Academy. They built a brand new high school, a brand new school in the Northeast in 18 months, working with Gil Bain. We need to take that same experience and put it on steroids for our school buildings around the city. I also address issues with asbestos, which something that my mom dealt with when she was at Alany. When I was in, member of city council and my son was still in high school, there was asbestos in the basement of his school, Hill Freeman.
Yeah.
And we had a teacher at Meredith and Jackson who was diagnosed with mesothelioma, yeah, which the insulators know, as well as the laborers, that's particles get into your system.
So you know Pat Iding.
Local 14.
That's right. And president of the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO, for the last 20 years. And we've done a lot of shows with Pat. Well, he was a monthly co-host at a broadcast over the last 7 years. But whenever you talk to Pat and you bring up a lot of the things, because like you said, Derek, he was the business manager at Local 14. And having said that, we've done shows on mesothelioma where, and he'll talk about, not one member of his apprentice class is still alive. Pat,
yes, he tells me that. He gets very emotional in his conversations.
Yeah, and so it's a great point. One of the really crazy things was a couple years ago when schools started to go back after the pandemic, they still, instead of addressing the issue of the insulators issues, mm-hmm, when you talk about asbestos, I'm sorry about that, we didn't address it while the schools were closed.
So
that was crazy.
So what's so interesting about this point, so after that situation, I was actually in a briefing with the school district when I got a text message saying that, Derek, there's asbestos in your son's school. So I was going to introduce legislation then. Then Superintendent Dr. Hyde said, no, give us some time. We'll address it. That was fall of 2019. March 2020, pandemic. So I said to Dr. Hyde, hey, what are you doing now? There's no better time to address asbestos than right now when schools are closed, kids are working remotely. We're on top of it. A couple months later, I'm learning about Chromebooks going out to the schools. What's going on with asbestos? We're working on it. Same thing. So now we go to fall of 2021, and school's about to reopen. and your teachers and mastermen saying, I don't want to go to my school.
Not going
because
in.
Of the conditions.
Sure.
SLA, Beaver, the same thing. So I introduced the legislation. The 2 days later when I introduced the legislation, there was mold at Franklin High School in the music room.
Yeah.
Now I've left council, and about a couple weeks ago, the school district, as opposed to trying to address asbestos, and we worked with the law department, and we had the building trades council as part of our advisory committee on putting this together, they sued the city because they don't want to comply with the law. So as opposed to focusing on asbestos during the pandemic like they could, or even now, they rather sue the city to say, we want to keep the school buildings the way they are. And you have a situation with a teacher diagnosed with mesothelioma who was at Meredith and Jackson.
Incredible. Before we segue from education, when we first started the Labor Show years ago, one of the topics was obviously the school, we were selling properties and to raise money to keep ourselves open. And the one thing that kept getting thrown on the table, the first thing were all the music programs, all the sports activities, all the extracurricular activities that, by the way, create things like, you know, self-esteem, teamwork, and all those things. Sports and a lot of those programs, you know, they may not, you may not see them on a report card, but they stay with you forever in a lot of different ways. A priority to keep those programs going?
Absolutely. In fact, when we talked about Nicholas Azaldi, he was actually at a sports program.
Right, exactly.
And imagine if those same young people that unfortunately got mentored the wrong direction also had access to a sports program or some of the recreation centers. I remember, you know, back in the day, our rec centers were much more robust and not just relying on people in the community to do the program, but a rec leader was actually helping to grow these programs. So we need to bring that back, those after-school programs, those other programs that help grow our city. That's important. That's how we mentor young people.
Absolutely.
We learn a lot from sports.
Absolutely. No question about it. Let's finish up. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but the opioid epidemic, obviously in Kensington, you've driven down there and seen what's going on. How do we impact that? One of the problems is people are like, okay, you're going to move it from here to here. What are your thoughts on how we impact that in a positive sense?
So not only have I done ride-alongs in Kensington at night, I've also walked the streets with community leaders. And one of the things I hear is that every new elected official comes in the community, they have their own program. Then you also have people who live outside the city coming into the city providing services, but not necessarily engaging with the citizens there who are trying to do the best they can. So we need to make sure we have a program. So when I talk about putting together my public safety plan and rolling it out from May 17th to swearing in, the same thing in reference to Kensington. What initiatives we're going to do? We need more beds, more medical assisted treatment for those who unfortunately get caught up in an opioid addiction because they were post-traumatic stress disorder or had some other pain management and now they're quote-unquote Kensington stuck. So, but we have to have a plan. One of the things that happened when they cleaned up Gurney Street, which is where a lot of people were staying down by the Conrail tracks, they cleaned it up, but then people just came up on the avenue with no plan for it. So I'm going to focus on how we have more facilities in reference to medical assisted treatment, as well as having a more physical presence, like we've did with Operation Sunrise under the street administration, that we're going to change that neighborhood so it doesn't look like an episode from The Wire.
That's right. 100%. It's a devastating situation. Well, Derek, I want to thank you so much for being our guest on the Labor Show. Awesome experience. Really appreciate your time. And certainly we'll be having further conversations as we get close to the election. I'm going to throw it back to Krause. Another great segment, Joe.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We thank our special guest, Derek Green, for sitting in and going one-on-one with J-Doc. Not an easy thing to do. J-Doc, great job by you as well. On behalf of everyone tuning in, this is the final time that I will get a chance to say this before the big game. Go Birds!
This program is paid for by Jacob Media Partners. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Jacob Media or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.